This is Ozarks at Large. We continue to navigate how to try to return to customs and routines affected by the pandemic. This weekend, St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville will host a pair of talks from the Reverend Nancy Frausto about how the church might serve in a post-pandemic world. She is Associate Rector at St. Luke's in Long Beach, California, and will deliver her talks virtually Saturday evening at 7 and Sunday morning at 10 as part of St. Paul's Tippi McMichael Lecture Series. Yesterday, we reached her by Zoom and asked her how she thinks the church should respond to this past year.
All faith communities have a responsibility of continuing the work of being the church and not getting too comfortable in going back to the way things used to be and being inside a building. I think one of the biggest opportunities we have now as we start thinking about, some sort of normalcy is that, yes, we get to go back into our buildings, but in this last year, we've also learned that the building is not the church. It's the community. So our huge responsibility is going to be continuing the work that we have been doing in the last year in a way that it's authentic and in a way that it's moving the church forward and not backwards into a comfort zone.
Yeah, that's interesting. What have the last 12, 13, 14 months been like for you and your congregation?
Well, there's been good days and there's been bad days. Mm-hmm. if we're being honest, I think that in the last 12 and 14 months, one of the things that my congregation did is that we weren't blind to the challenges, but we were excited to look at the opportunities that came with those challenges. So, a church that had never, ever thought about broadcasting or going live, is now going live, not every single Sunday, but in every other opportunity. We're thinking about different ways of doing formation, different ways of being present within the community. So while there's definitely been lost anger and frustration, there's also been a multitude of blessings that have come because the community has come together in a very special way, a way that all communities should come together in a time of difficulty.
Yeah, I think about a year's time. That's Christmas. That's Easter. That's birthdays. That's funerals. That's the entire liturgical calendar that has been done not the way it had been done years, decades before.
Well, it's funny enough that you say that because the first Holy Week, right when the whole country went into lockdown, right? As we started thinking, how do we do this digitally? Questions that we've never had. I mean, I'm a millennial, but I wasn't like a super techy millennial, so I knew the bare basics. But it's like, how do we do this in a way that it's still holy? That you're not just putting on a show, right? Like, you don't want to put on a show. You want to worship. You want to be in community. So learning to do all of that was, you just had to do it quick and go with it. And one of the things that has been a big lesson for myself and other clergy that I've spoken to is that we've learned to like let go of perfection and realize that you just need to trust that if your heart is in the right place and you are worshiping God, like everything could go wrong and it can still be beautiful because you are doing it in a way that it's not about your ego or about the community looking good. It's about God, which should have been the beginning, should have been that way from the very beginning. So yes, it's been really exhausting and really beautiful.
I think I know that you want some things that have changed in the last 13 or 14 months to change. Do you think, and I guess this is more of a general, but I'll ask it in a general sense and in a specific sense for your congregation. Do you think church, houses of worship have been altered somewhat in some degrees permanently because of the last year?
Yes, I do. And I truly hope they have changed. if we haven't changed after a year of a pandemic and social upheaval, what's going on? Like, I would question why we haven't changed. And this is no judgment on anything or anyone. It's just that after a year of the open wounds of our country just being completely exposed, if we've been blind to them, that means we haven't been paying attention. And that means we haven't been paying attention to the people in our pews who are hurting. So yes, I think the church and all faith communities really have had needed to change and be transformed in a new way, which kind of, I don't know if this is going to make sense, right? But this last 14 months have really pushed us into going back to what originally the church was. It was a gathering of believers, of scrappy believers. It wasn't about the pretty vestments or the liturgy. It was like, let's just get together and be with one another. So I hope that as the church, as we continue to have more freedoms to be outside and worship with one another, that we can continue holding dear those things that have been sacred for generations. And we have kind of forgotten about it because we've gotten comfortable.
Have you talked with other priests or other faith leaders in other denominations about what the year has been like? And what have those conversations been like?
Well, everybody's been exhausted. nobody had been prepared to become director, producer, editor. We've had to learn quickly. So yes, I mean, I think the first part of the conversation is everyone has been exhausted. And once we get past the exhaustion, I gotta say, there's been a couple of us who have really looked at this time as a time of creativity. You know, in the Episcopal Church, we have the Book of Common Prayer, which, you know, it's a guide to our liturgy, and it's beautiful. And it doesn't necessarily translate that well when you're trying to be a digital church. So we had to be a little bit creative. How do we explore the beauty and tradition of our liturgy in a way that someone that just happens to have, you know, been friends with someone who liked our video, sees it and says, huh, that's interesting. Like someone that would have never walked into a church can now like watch, hear the preaching, hear the music and be transformed with it, right? Like God has been part of all of this forever. And God is working in people's hearts in a way that we don't know. But now we have an opportunity for people to get a glimpse of what the church is about. And again, the church is much more than the pretty vestments and the liturgy and the building. You know, the church is the people. How are the people showing up for one another? So I think other clergy people that we've had these conversations, it's also giving us a liberty to be a little bit more creative in this time.
When we get out of this, when we're done with the virus, whenever that happens, and I guess we still don't know, so much else challenges us. I mean, as you mentioned, this past year has laid raw some of the great challenges this country faces, be it economic, be it social. We had the death of George Floyd and other deaths. We had an election that stripped us raw. I mean, when the virus is done, the church is still going to be leaned on by so many people.
Well, and one of the things that I've been really thinking about and wrestling with is this idea that, you know, for Christians, for people who call themselves, you know, people of the resurrection, when Easter comes, when the resurrection happens, typically as Christians, we are like, yeah, celebration. We, you know, we have a huge party and we're looking forward to that. But the thing is that the actual first Easter, the moment of resurrection, it didn't magically change things for the disciples, right? They were still afraid of the authorities. They were hiding. there was so much fear. I think for us, as we move out of this pandemic, there's still going to be some of that fear that happens. And it's going to be really important for us to remember that just because the pandemic is gone, just because the resurrection happens, doesn't mean things have come to a solution. You know, I'm such a priest. One of the things that I look at in all the resurrection stories in scripture, when Jesus appears to disciples, he always mentions the wounds. The wounds are always present. We get Doubting Thomas, you know, we get the Road to Emmaus, and the wounds are a big part of those stories. And that to me reminds us, death happened, and there's proof of that pain, of that suffering. And just because Jesus comes back doesn't mean that that suffering is gone. It's still present. It's still something that we need to deal with. As we come out of this pandemic, there is a lot of issues that have been exposed that as the church, we need to make sure that we are talking about them and being part of the reconciliation and of the solution, of the conversation, of bringing people together. We have to talk about the inequality that has happened in healthcare, in economics, what communities have been affected the most and why. You know, we cannot just pretend everything is back and perfect, because it's not. That is a lie. And the church should not be in the business of selling lies.
You know, because of all of that that has happened, even in a non-pandemic year, people go through loss and grief. And one of the things that is part of the relationship between a congregant and their priest or their imam or their pastor or whatever is a touch, a hand on a shoulder, a hug. That hasn't happened for you or your congregants. How challenging has that been for you and the people who might look for that touch from you?
That's definitely been one of the biggest challenges. We've had a couple of people in my congregation lose family members to COVID. And one family in particular lost two brothers in a matter of days. Not being able to be present with them and give that hug that lets you know everything will be okay, that you are not alone, that the pain is there, but we're here with you. That has been one of the most difficult moments in my ministry this last year, because as you said, it's such an important part of pastoral care, of just being with one another, that touch. But I will say that even though we haven't been able to have those moments, there's been moments when prayer has been even more powerful, because we cannot feel each other like hugging one another, but we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that moment as we pray with one another. And it's not just about the priest praying for the layperson. It's brothers and sisters in Christ praying for one another. So I can't wait to the moment where we can spend 15 minutes during the peace hugging one another and crying. I'm looking forward to that moment. And yet, even though we can't do it, there's this evidence that love is present because God is present.
Reverend Nancy Frausto is Associate Rector at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Long Beach, California, and she will give a pair of talks virtually this weekend as part of St. Paul's Episcopal Church Tippi McMichael Lecture Series. The first talk is scheduled for Saturday night at 7. The second is set for Sunday morning at 10. You can find out more and find links at stpaulsfay.org/tippy. That's stpaulsfay.org/tippy. We talked with her yesterday afternoon via Zoom.